Hello. Welcome back to Swipe Right.
Welcome back.
It's been 2 weeks. Wild. And I haven't missed you. And by you, I mean Leah. I missed all of our listeners.
Oh.
All right. So, yeah, welcome back. We're here again. Leah's going to go off with our disclaimer right now.
Yeah.
Because it's super important to us that we have that. And so take it away.
So you're listening to Swipe Right, and before we get started, we felt it necessary to state that the personal experiences we discuss on our show are solely the experiences of two white, heterosexual, cisgender females in their early 20s, and in no way do they represent the experiences of all individuals that partake in modern dating.
And that's incredibly true, especially for this specific episode, because mm-hmm. we are talking the construct that is virginity. But also, we'll let you know a little into our virginity stories. So it's both informative, educational, and funny, because my story is ridiculous.
And we also have some stories from our friends that yes. we've collected.
We have a few steamy stories just to, you know,
so get ready for that.
So, yeah, what is your article this week?
So I found an article that basically goes over myths about sex and virginity as, I guess, what'd you call it, like a social construct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The virginity is a social construction to oppress women. Fun. Yeah, so no, we definitely have some myths for you, and then I come in with my feminism, and I'll talk
as
about
always
why virginity and it as a construct is detrimental to society, and especially for those that are younger and incredibly impressionable and maybe not or maybe don't have the resources that they mm-hmm. should and they need, especially at such fun.
I think, but before we get into those, we should do a little bit of an update.
Update. Hi. So, yes. How are you? Who are you dating? Are you sleeping with anyone? Do we need to?
Oh, man. Last couple of weeks.
Oh, boy.
Wild.
I know. I get very overwhelmed when she comes into my office and she goes on. And I've actually had to silence her in moments because I can't. There's so many updates. And I'm overwhelmed. And I don't really have that many. Do you want me to
do a little update? Yeah, sure. I can do a little update.
Yeah. What is your status?
So, you know, 2 weeks ago, last time we were here, mm-hmm. I had messaged that guy
yes,
on Instagram.
That we saw in the concourse when we were postering.
Anyway, so we...
Best moment of my life.
We went out. It was beautiful. He's very nice. Very cute. Anyway, so, you know, like that stupid rule, people have that you have to wait like 3 days to ask about it on again.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to talk to someone, talk to them.
It's exactly. Let me
really
read you.
Frustrating.
So last night at 11:30, he texted me and said, "My roommates told me to wait a few more days before I ask you out again, but fuck it, you're way too cool." I was like, and he's like, "Let's hang out." I was like, "Oh my god!" So I read this and I was like, "Is he drunk? Like, what is going on?
What is wrong with you?
And what is
why
going
do you
want
to hang out with me? I'm always questionable. Like, I always have questions yeah. why someone would urgently want to spend time with me because I'm really not that fun, especially on the spot. So I get that, but also yeah. I can definitely enjoy someone, and I'm incredibly attracted to a man that knows what he wants
mm-hmm.
and is, you know, going against those, like, social mores of, hey, do not let someone know that you're interested because mm-hmm. it leaves you vulnerable to rejection,
yeah.
leaves you vulnerable to coming on too strong, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera. So I think that that's really cool that he was able to, like,
yeah.
despite being told not to, go ahead and do it.
So I was just like, honestly, like, you tell me the time and I'm down. So we have we had a study date planned maybe for this afternoon. I originally told him around this time, but I had some stuff to do, like
yeah,
this show.
Like
so
this
now
show,
here I am.
We're pre-recording today.
We are pre-recording
it
today.
It is 3:06 in the afternoon. Our show normally airs at 9, and it will again tonight. So we're not going to be in the studio when you're listening to this.
No, so we're drinking water.
Because I want to go to Arabella instead of sitting in a studio.
Instead of hanging out with me, but that's fine.
I have priorities.
It's none of my business.
But yeah, I mean, my update, really, the only one that I had, I was talking to this long-lost crush that I had while I work at the LCBO, and he just was responding like every 2 or 3 days, and then he hasn't responded for about 6 or 7 days now, and I just don't have time. I don't really care. I'm not upset about it. We really don't have that much in common. We're very different people, and we have different interests, and obviously that comes to play when you end up spending time together. So I'm not upset about that. I mean, the fact that he even thinks I'm cute enough to swipe right, I'm good.
Enough.
That's literally all
that's
that I care about.
Me.
I'm like, you think I'm cute? All right. I'm that shallow. So right now, and I've mentioned him maybe before, if I haven't, all is well. So I matched with this guy a long time ago, and we have yet to meet, and it's been almost a year that we've been talking pretty consistently. Like, he's changed jobs, I've changed jobs, I've moved twice since we talked. You know, it's been, there's been a lot of movement,
a lot
in our
of
lives,
stuff going on,
and we haven't met yet. So we're meeting this Sunday. Whether that's going to happen or not, that's kind of the plan. So we will see. However, I'm incredibly nervous.
You'll be fine.
But it's time. I don't know. I feel like I'm at this point in my life where a lot of my close friends are dating someone, and I can see like their partnerships flourish. And I'm a bit envious. Normally, I'm completely fine and very independent and very okay with being single. So it's just getting to a point. And of course, it's cold out. You stay home a lot more. And that's because I live alone. It's like, it would be nice.
Cuffing season.
I refuse to use that term. And so, yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully it works out. I said to him, I'm like, what if we hate each other? What if you think I'm repulsive? What if? And he's like, you literally always say this. It's going to be fine. You need to relax. And I was just like, yes.
You're
yes,
right.
Because it's you very, know, I have problems.
The whole concept of getting a boyfriend right now is just like, I don't know.
I
can't. Like, this happens so fast. He's,
yeah,
texting me all these things.
I'm so excited,
like, oh,
though,
my
for you.
Gosh.
Because
you know,
happy. It's been 5 minutes, but you seem happy.
You know, like, he's a cool guy, but there's other people in my life, you know, and I'm going to have to delete my Tinder.
Yes.
I'm going to have to.
You already have an overwhelming amount of matches that no woman in their right mind, no person.
I already have some people that come over occasionally, you know, like, I'm going to have to cut those ties.
It's fine. Bye.
Whatever.
We don't miss you.
Anyways, let's jump into these articles.
Yeah. We're going to first take our first music break.
Yeah.
Because why not? We're going to play Salt and Peppa, None of Your Business, classic tune, and it kind of sparks the rest of the conversation that we're going to have tonight. It's also an incredibly liberating song, just for feminism and women.
Love it.
All around.
Love it.
So enjoy some Salt and Peppa.
Gotta mess with mine. Don't keep sweating what I do, because I'm going to be just fine. Check it out. If I want to take a guy home with me tonight, it's none of your business.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. I love that song.
It's such a good
song.
We
were in here dancing. I was in here dancing. Throwing it up for everyone. All right.
All right. Let's get into these articles.
Let's do it.
What do you say?
Let's dive in.
All right. So let's start with this one. I have 5 myths about sex and virginity.
Yes.
So the first one is the hymen is the definitive marker of virginity. Mm-hmm.
Forever rolling my eyes.
And, you know, there's literally scientific evidence that says this is not, like, this doesn't, it doesn't stay attached just because you haven't had sex.
Yeah.
And it can come, like, detached because of other things.
Well, of course it can, especially,
you know,
like, there's so many reasons behind it. Obviously, like, there's been tales of women who, like, even people that are equestrians, ride horses, or,
yeah,
you know, people
or just other
that are,
sports,
you know, that fall or are quite active, or people that they had their period a little bit earlier and are using tampons as opposed to pads. Like, there's a number of reasons. And also, that assumption is also rooted in, like, really heteronormative.
Exactly.
And, like, ideas of what sex is. So it's quite limiting. So, for example, someone that sexuality is based is,
yeah,
so
we'll get into that.
Yeah,
we're
gonna get
into
that. But again, so that's why that is a myth. You don't necessarily have to break someone's hymen in order for it to be, or it could be broken and you could still lose your virginity, etc.
Etc, etc.
Etc.
And, like, it's a big thing in, like, religious cultures too, right? Because it's an indicator to them that someone's lost their virginity, so that person can face stupid consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Based on, because their hymen has been detached for whatever reason.
Exactly.
That's wild.
A doctor can't tell if you're a virgin. All is well. That's why they ask the question.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't want to talk about that question. With your mom in the room or a parent in the room.
Yeah. I just don't go to the doctor. That's how I solve that.
And hope I don't die.
Yeah. I mean, we're all dying, so it's fine. I'm just might happen quicker for me.
Okay. Relax.
And we're back.
Okay. So the second point is queer sex doesn't count. Which is very not true.
Exactly. Like, a lot of it, again, rooted in, like, heteronormative expectations for sex. And that requires penetration. Yeah. So it eliminates so many other options for sex and excludes a large portion of our population that don't necessarily fall into that heteronormative box. So.
And, like, when someone says they lost their virginity, that doesn't mean that they...
Exactly, because it's a construct. What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
When you lose your virginity,
it's different to everyone, right?
As a queer individual, as a non-binary individual, as someone that is a lesbian or gay or bisexual, etc. Yeah.
So I think incorporating a more queer-friendly concept of sex and virginity kind of helps.
Yeah, definitely.
Create a more inclusive.
The language you use is. Ensuring it's inclusive is super important.
Yeah, and I think a lot of heterosexual people don't take that idea into account.
Yeah, because it falls outside of them.
Yeah, but I think more people should know about it. And more people should...
And everyone has the resources. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, never lean on a queer individual or anyone that falls within... LGBTQ+ community for that information. If you're curious, exercise your own ability to source out resources.
Like,
the internet
yourself.
Is a thing.
Yeah.
Go on the internet. There is so much literature, and do yourself the favor and learn, because you're only doing yourself a disservice if you aren't well vetted and educated in, I mean, not only like queer culture and, you know, things that fall outside the heteronormative realm, but, I mean, anything, with any culture, with any...
It's 2018, boys and girls.
Yeah, hi, wake up.
Let's get her going.
Let's get her going.
Okay, third point. Sex within marriage is the healthiest kind. Therefore, you should probably save yourself for marriage.
No, do not save yourself for marriage. I mean, it's a very personal choice. Intimacy is very personal. It's a lot, and sometimes it isn't for some people. And either way is fine. But I definitely don't think there should be that expectation that you're saving it for a special someone. I mean, that, again, is just building up that idea of, like, women as pure and, like, having to save yourself and your purity for a man and for someone else's pleasure. And it's, no. Do it whenever you feel comfortable and whenever you feel you've given consent to that situation.
Yeah.
Or
and
just
like,
don't.
And in the article, it says, like, a marriage license isn't a magical key to a healthy or pleasurable sex life.
Exactly.
So, also the point is, I want to make a point that states, you know, you don't know how that person is in bed if you wait till marriage. And then... You're not, like, you're stuck with them, but, like, you're kind of stuck with them for the rest of your life, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think intimacy,
test the waters.
Sex is an incredibly important and imperative part of any relationship, and that's how a lot of people bond, and I think it's important to experience each other's bodies and be intimate with each other's bodies.
Yeah.
And to be comfortable in the confines of your own bed or wherever you choose to do that. So I think it's important to know that before getting married, or whether you don't get married. A lot of people aren't getting married. For example, it's not something that's necessarily important to me. Mm-hmm. So I think that also puts a limitation on people who are like, okay, well, what if I'm not interested in marriage? Does that mean I should, you know, it's just confusing language.
Yeah, and you know, like, sex in marriage is not always consensual, too.
Well, 100%.
I feel like people don't understand that.
The assumption is that you sign those marriage papers and then you're, given consent for the rest of your life?
No. You still have to ask.
Exactly.
Anyways, fourth point, there's one universal definition of sex. This is also fake because They had a conference that had about 50 people that sat down and they were asked to define sex. And they had about 50 different definitions of what mm-hmm. sex meant to that person.
Yeah.
So I think it's super important to also consider that.
Oh,
and
definitely.
It kind of goes hand in hand with like LGBTQ community mm-hmm. and their sexual encounters.
Yeah, I mean, sex is, again, very personal, whether it be penetrative or just however intimate you want to get or however mm-hmm. intimate you are able with getting a lot of... I mean, it's different for everyone, right? And how we define sex can be limiting, and so it's nice to see that there are studies showing that, you know, it's mm-hmm. not one specific
definition.
Like,
some people said, like, oral sex was considered sex to them, and some people mm-hmm. didn't. And they came up with some factors that some people took into account when they decided whether something counts for sex or not.
Yeah.
So,
no, totally.
And a big one is when and how consent was obtained. Because some people would consider rape as a violence act compared to a sexual act.
And that's such an important and valuable mm-hmm. point to make is because, so, you know, in that definition of penetrative sex and this, like the breaking of the hymen and mm-hmm. you know, a penis and being inserted into a vagina, if you are against your consent, like
yeah.
forced into having sex or like obviously raped, then you is that supposed to be considered losing your virginity? But
yeah.
within the definition, I mean, if you look at it like outside of it, then yeah, it would be, but definitely not like
yeah.
that's not something that I would consider losing your virginity.
Some other factors were number of partners, length of time, intentions of the people involved, existence of orgasm, as sex wouldn't exist for some people if that was the
yeah.
factor.
For all of women that don't have a vibrator, at least.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, yeah. I remember, and I was talking to DJ X about this mm-hmm. before, I mean, there was so many myths with, like, sex. There was a mm-hmm. lot of people, at least a lot of conversations regarding when should you have sex. And I was always so hyper-focused on whether it would hurt and whether what
yeah.
was breaking the hymen, specifically the hymen, what was that like? And all
yeah.
I would have are these, like, really graphic depictions of, like, skin breaking and ripping. And it
oh
was just
gosh,
so
stop.
Terrifying. There were also a lot of horror stories, and there's a lot of myths surrounding, like, the fact that there's, like, this amount of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it's definitely
that,
not.
I mean, and it's not to say that that doesn't happen. A lot of women do, they do experience blood.
But it's not like you're gushing blood.
No. I
which
mean,
I feel like some
I remember,
girls
unfortunately,
or women think.
And that's why it's sometimes it's like high school can be so toxic because I remember this person and who I had been close friends with at one point. They had lost their virginity to a senior
mm-hmm.
and they were seeing each other. I didn't really think that they were, yeah, that was problematic in itself.
Yeah.
However, he went on and told everyone about that, about losing her virginity and the experience, and essentially went on to describe it as some sort of, like, CSI crime scene.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, and so it was very graphic and very, like, he just made it into such a dramatic event and something that was
just like too immature.
I'm assuming so personal and intimate for her, and especially like losing your virginity is scary. It's I
mm-hmm.
mean, especially when you're so young
yeah.
and in high school, and it's so impressionable, and your social status means everything, at least
mm-hmm.
like in my impression. But yeah, and it was just really terrible. I couldn't even imagine having someone go around and talk about
and then having to
that.
Go to school on top of that, you
and
know
face
what I mean?
That and
yeah.
being, having people know that there's like a bloody handprint on the wall. Like, he was incredibly
awful,
you know,
about it.
Yeah, oh, it was terrible. So I mean, there was also that myth about there being blood every time.
Yeah.
Obviously, it being incredibly painful. Obviously, there's so many conversations and so much in the media that's saying you should wait.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till the right person. Wait till marriage. Wait until this. And it's, you know, it shouldn't be anyone else telling you anything. Just decide upon yourself. I mean, that's kind of what I did. I waited for a long time. I mean, I remember hearing stories starting in grade 9 about how someone had lost their virginity in grade 8 when they were like 12
mm-hmm.
to 13 years old. And I just couldn't even wrap my mind around being intimate.
Yeah.
When I was still exploring my own body. I was
mm-hmm.
still uncomfortable with my own body and like going through puberty and, you
yeah.
know, just dealing with my own womanhood, let alone like inviting someone into that. And so it was always so scary to me. And so I always leaned on like the women in my life to talk to. And I'm so glad that I have that support system. And I'm not every woman does, but.
Yeah. That kind of relates to the fifth point. Like slut shaming plays an important social role by discouraging risky behavior.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't. It just creates like this fear and
yeah,
silence around sex for women.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, you have like guys being like, oh, they have what, like 30 kills. Oh, like that's sick, bro. Like, awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. And then we slut shame girls for sleeping with guys. You know what I mean?
That's something that comes up in my article about how I talk about why we should ditch the idea of virginity for good, because it is detrimental in its entirety and like what it represents and the history behind virginity as a concept. And so I think that it's really important, and we're going to continue that conversation right on after this break.
But
sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm so rude.
And I think slut shaming is kind of the same as virgin shaming, where it just kind
of
creates that.
It is someone
fear.
Yeah. I was always very comfortable in talking about it.
For me.
It was not something that I like shielded because I was pure.
Yeah.
It was not something that I valued in the way that I never saw it as something that spoke to my value as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It was never something that I put at the forefront of this is what defines me. And so for me, I didn't personally lose my virginity until I was 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like relatively late, especially when you're contrasting it with some of the research that Stats Canada does, which I'll bring up in
after
the break.
Well, I lost mine when I was 16.
Yeah. And so that's actually more common. A lot of people have said that they've experienced any sort of sexual intimacy prior to 15 years old. And so for me to wait until I was 22 was actually quite late. And I just remember us being, I remember specifically this one guy that I was seeing for a while. And this was after I had graduated high school, and I had still not necessarily been sexually active all that often. And he would call me his unicorn. And so there was that also not only that sense of ownership with him, but that like that theme of being virtuous and pure and unique and rare, as if every other woman that had been sexually active was impure and not necessarily unique and you know, easy to find and easy just in general. And so it was just, it was something that I was both held on this pedestal, and there was a lot of pressure there and something to be conquered. But also it was something that is just, why are you still a virgin? Why have you waited? Are you waiting for the right person? Are you a prude? Are you a tease? I've been called a tease so many times. I had been hooking up with this guy for so, so long after high school, and he was, he never really pressured me, but I could always, we never went all the way.
Yeah.
We never fully had penetrative sex. And so for me, it was just, it was so frustrating because I was always being called a tease by him and his friends, not by him necessarily because I wouldn't have continued, but it was always that thing. And like, no, I'm not a tease. I just have boundaries and limitations, and I respect my own limitations. And I think everyone should establish those. And I just had an idea of what I wanted it to look like. And it didn't look like being in his parents' basement on his couch. It didn't look like that to me. And whether that is what it looked like to you, that's cool. And that's, I'm not trying to
shame anyone.
Exactly. But I don't know. So it's definitely interesting either way. I mean, you're shamed if you do and you're shamed if you don't. And that's probably, and that's again, why and what I will somewhat be bringing up in the article that I read this week. But we are going to take a quick break. We're going to play another song from Salt-N-Pepa saying, let's talk about sex. So this is super appropriate.
Fitting.
So yeah.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
All right, welcome back.
We are back.
Just a couple of bangers tonight. Just kidding.
Okay, today, don't ever say that again.
I know, I'm sorry.
Couple of bangers tonight.
Bangers, or what do they call them now? Bops?
Bops.
Oh my God.
Yo, that was a
bop. This is so funny. Last night I went over to my friends and I said to them, I was like, I do not understand what a Finsta is. What is a Finsta? Noah has one, you have one, and I'm confused.
Finstas are so fun.
I don't understand them.
I post like funny conversations I've had with guys on it, so I just kind of like,
are you anonymous?
I don't make fun of them. No, it's just like my close friends that follow me on it.
I know, but anyone can
exclusive.
Have access to it, or is it private?
It's private. It's very exclusive.
Okay.
On who I let follow me.
I was thinking, because I follow Noah's, I don't follow yours.
I don't know if and I can she let you would, follow mine.
She would put out stories about her poop tooth when she had her root canal situation. Yeah. Her infected wisdom
like
tooth,
funny stories,
etc. And I was just like, oh my God, that is terrifying. I mean, it's still on the internet. Anyways, let's get into it. I'm going to start off. I'm going to be talking a lot because, hi, I love my voice and it's fun. And I did about 30 minutes of research, which is 30 minutes too much. And yeah, so I'm going to start off with a bit of sexual statistics from the latest StatCan, like how often people are and like at what age, etc. Anyways, I'm just going to read them. So in 2009 and 2010, they did two different studies. They also did one in 2003, 2004. Obviously, this is the more recent version. However, there was not all that much of a difference between the results of each survey, I suppose. So 9% of 15 to 24-year-olds reported that they first had sexual intercourse when they were younger than 15, and about 25% had intercourse for the first time at age 15 or 16. So that's quite a large portion of young teens. And then 66% of 15 to 24-year-olds reported having had sexual intercourse at least once, which was not significantly, again, different than the 2003 study. And they've also shown that programs that promote abstinence have become particularly popular within school systems, especially obviously in the U.S. and now in Ontario, Canada, and Ontario, or I guess, I don't even know. What I'm saying is Doug Ford, that's my opinion.
And Ontario.
And even with the federal government. So these are referred in the literature as abstinence only or value-based programs, and they, based on the findings from research from a controlled-based school-based sex education interventions in promoting abstinent behavior, actually don't indicate any sort of large overall impact. They actually demonstrate quite a small overall effect. So abstinence-based programming, and that's to say the same results have been found in this Just Say No to Drugs and like all those programs.
Yeah.
They also show very small overall impacts in the, you know, whether children are having sex, whether children are.
I think it's more of a social thing, right? Like, I remember back in high school, like our group of friends, one of our like friends, she had sex and she was like the first one out of all of us. So like all of us were like, oh my God, should we be having sex? Like,
yeah.
And it's just like this social.
Yeah, I mean, it's anything. This is like the age-old saying. You tell kids not to do something, and of course they're going to do it. And yeah,
they're going to be curious.
An incredible amount of passion.
Yeah.
So definitely doesn't show an impact, and despite the facts and the research and the social science behind this, I mean, they still push for it.
Yeah.
So anyways, my article is, again, and a lot of it is kind of what Leah had already covered in her
myths.
So sorry, I'm a total space cadet in this moment. I'm just like, hi, I'm here. I'm like watching the snow outside and I'm like out to lunch. The mozzarella sticks have gone to my head. That's the snack that I had before a show. Anyways, I know, I need to cut cheese. Unrelated. Anyways.
What?
She hates
going
me.
On?
I am mumbling. I'm sorry.
Article, go.
Article, go. So, I picked 5 reasons to ditch the concept of virginity for good. And this is from everydayfeminism.com because the feminist in me loves this. So, it's something we all know, the concept of virginity, and it's something that we as a culture obsess over, especially when it comes to women, and we've kind of already gone over that. So, it's a very valuable thing to have, and it's, if you're a woman specifically, and a very confusing and perplexing thing for men.
Yeah.
And so female virginity is valuable to society, and their purity and how they present themselves sexually is incredibly valued and judged, and it's always at the forefront of who they are and how they're presented and how they're viewed. In fact, it's actually better for a man's social status if he's not a virgin, and if he's had those, as they like to say, conquering, or they've had a specific kill count, etc., whatever your like local colloquialism is for having sex. So,
kill count.
Yeah, which is so funny that you still had the same one, because that's what we had in our high school, is what we would say, what was your kill?
Yeah.
And that was, you'd know by saying kill that it actually meant how many people have you had sex with.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, it's very beneficial and complimentary to a man's social status to have an amount of partners as opposed to women where they're shamed. And that's something that we've alluded to when during the myths and how that there is that double standard. Of course, there always is. And so, women are shamed, obviously, for having sex, and men are rewarded for it, whether it's by their bros or just overall. So, the idea of your first penis and vagina sexual encounter being something significant and life-altering, especially for women, has origins in women being considered property. So essentially, virginity is a social construction that came about because of the commodification of women being passed on from their fathers to their husbands as a source or an exchange of property.
Yeah.
And that comes, as many of you know, and there's that age old, like, especially in the media, I'm going to ask your father for permission to marry you, as if there is a permission for the transaction of property, as if you don't have autonomy in your choice to marry them. And so that's what they mean by the commodification of it. You're being commodified into a product, into a source of property, a source of value. That doesn't have that autonomy over the decisions. So again, always linked to that either paternal or partner, male partner. And so obviously there is a strong and rich history of women's sexual purity being imperative in this transaction, placing her virginity and their virginity as a defining factor of their overall value. And so women historically have made, it has been at the forefront of, for them to never sleep with a man or mm-hmm. lay in bed with a man that is not their partner. And especially, obviously, this is a lot, is ruled rooted and regulated in tradition of religion. And especially with, at least for me, I was brought up Catholic, and Catholicism teaches abstinence.
Yeah.
And to wait till you're married. And it being a sin. Adultery.
You know what's interesting, though? I don't really know if this relates totally, but if you're a woman who is not a virgin and you're having sex with a man who is a virgin.
Yeah.
I feel like that kind of puts the woman in a more powerful position. You know what I mean?
But in the eyes of society, I don't think that she is. But in the context of that immediate relationship, the power imbalance is definitely weighted in her
experience.
Probably only from his point of view. Although... Yeah. It depends. I mean, I think that's, like, so multifaceted because
it's wild, eh?
The power dynamic in terms of experience, yes, would be rooted in her shoes, but with him, it wouldn't matter for him as much as because he's a virgin. I don't know. But,
okay, it's about to get a little personal.
Sure.
So when I was in high school, I hooked up with someone and took their V card or whatever, the swipe their V card, whatever this term was back then. And that person still messages me on occasion being like, wow, like, you took my virginity. That's like, that's crazy. How many years
ago
was
that?
Which
is so interesting. It's so... Because often men are so flippant about it. They often don't discuss it unless they were in their lives for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and that's also, I think, a myth also. I mean, not necessarily specific to men, but with women especially, I think there is that myth that virgins, and if you're the one that has taken, again, this exchange of
swiped
the commodification of your virginity, of that, like, of that action, if you've taken that or, you know, et cetera, that virgins all of a sudden have this switch in their head that they become these, and I've heard this phrase so many times, these stage 5 clingers. And I've heard so many people, and especially men, and especially the bros that I so shamefully used to hang around, they would talk about how they were so, they both wanted it, and it was like this intriguing and like this sexual, like this unicorn, as I said, the other guy called me. However, it was also something that they feared taking, in a sense, which, again, taking. Do not use that language.
Yeah.
But it was something that they were so fearful of because they were just, I don't want a stage 5 clinger. And it's not true.
Exactly.
It is not true. Honestly, I am so happy to not talk to you after we hook up. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you half the time.
That's why we hooked up and that was it. Like,
but then there's also, that also goes along with the assumption that women can't do anything without being emotionally invested in every action she does because she's impartial and she's ruled by their emotions, etc., which is a whole other conversation and super frustrating. But yeah, I think that brings up another myth, how if you sleep with someone that has yet to indulge in sexual intercourse in whatever form it may be to them, then they're not going to just have this switch flip and become obsessed with you. Just relax, you're probably not that great. And if you are, then good for you. But yeah, so, I mean, virginity has served as this medieval form of a paternity test and is obviously incredibly harmful for women. Mm-hmm. And this, again, that means just that there's, like, you're ascertaining the fact that if they haven't had sex with people prior to marriage, you can be certain that any sort of reproduction or any children to come from her is yours. And so that's what mean by medieval form of paternity test. So, yeah, so I'm going to only go over about 3 of the 5 reasons why we need to ditch the concept of virginity just because for time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go through them quite quickly just because
time is against us.
So get ready to hear my voice. So virginity obviously is sexist, and we've kind of pointed to a lot of these points already. And so it doesn't hold the same social implications for men as women, as I've said. And women are taught that their virginity is valuable and even a commodity, with anthems of how one should lose it, or they'll be labeled damaged or desperate or easy. And it's this toxic narrative about how we should lose it, when we should lose it, mm-hmm. and how or to whom we should lose it to.
Some women sell it.
Exactly. And so it's just that constant, like, exchange that of language of being extremely toxic and saying that we are... our value is rooted in this, and we have to be so careful in how we go about losing it. And it's really, really frustrating. So men obviously have little shame surrounding it and serve little cultural consequences, whereas virginity in a lot of cultures is a signal of purity and can have cultural and societal absence and consequences surrounding that if you do not have it and do not possess And there's so many stories. I mean, I can't speak to them too well, but I mean, there's so many stories that I've read in articles where many women have actually been, where many women have not been spoken to by their family any longer after finding out that they've lost their virginity or they've been indulgent. Oh, yeah, of course. In so many other cultures, because it's such a virtue to have.
In some cultures.
Yeah, not in all of them. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm going to go on to 2. So virginity, as Leah brought up in her myths, contributes to to slut-shaming. So it is a construct that we judge women based on how and when they started having sex. For example, losing it at the wrong age is too young, or you're too early. Or if the wrong person, it's too early in the relationship. Or doing it for the wrong reasons, you're easy. There are always social consequences. And there's always that, women being put in the forefront of public discourse and the speculation and judgment of others and their sexual desires. And so obviously slut-shaming is when you place guilt or subordination on women for their sexuality, which is sexist and reinforces sex-negative mindset based in puritanical sexual values and doesn't allow for the sexual autonomy of women and yet constrains their behavior. So it's just that constant reiteration of telling us how to do things and explaining what we should do with our desires and how we should go about being intimate with others. And being scolded for when we do take autonomy over those decisions. And exactly, slut shaming. Don't do it. You're lame. again, a lot of this is reiterated, but the 3 for why we should ditch the social construct that is virginity is that virginity is heteronormative and erases queer and trans folks. And by heteronormative, it just means that it's rooted in the heterosexual narrative. And so it's really rooted in female, man, penis, vagina, penetration.
That's it.
Yeah, and that's what it's rooted in so strongly. And so often it assumes unless you've had a penis or it's penetrative that you really haven't had sex. And that oral and anal sex often aren't counted in our culture, which is super limiting, especially for those that are limited to anal and are limited to oral based on their anatomy. And so heterosexuality is the norm, and virginity works as a reinforcement of this. And so it's really, really ostracizing to those that don't necessarily fall into that gender binary and that binary of sex and heteronormative sex. And so it's leaving zero room for those that don't fall into that and don't fall into the conventional forms of sexuality. And so it's very, very limiting and very ostracizing for those. And I couldn't even imagine. So I think it's really important that we start debunking virginity as something that should be at the forefront of all these conversations. Yeah. And recognize that it is really, really toxic and really harmful for a lot and for the majority of our society and across a lot of cultures. So, yeah, hi. And then I'm just going to quickly go over this not-for-profit in Kitchener, Waterloo, and it's called SHORE. And it's the Sexual Health Options, Resources, and Education. And it was founded in 1952 and originally named the Planned Parenthood. And so their mission is to promote choice through accurate sexual health education and confidential pregnancy options, and just support overall for people that attend their non-for-profit. And so their values include pro-choice, sex-positive, and accessibility, so i.e. reducing barriers to resources along with childcare, multiple languages, and no fees, etc. So they often provide materials on abortion, birth control, and safer sex, consent, dating, sexual health resources, and information. So that can be brochures, information, PowerPoints, presentations. They have condoms, lube, birth control, etc. So they have tangible research, tangible resources, and also just a plentiful of literature and information that they can relate to you. And so they make a point to say that the issue of sexuality is raised for children every time they turn on the TV. So they look at a billboard, browse the internet, etc. Therefore, every child is being taught by sex education curriculum developed by the media, which is incredibly dangerous. And so basically my point in bringing this up is that it's a really important resource in our community that not a lot of people know and recognize unless they're forced to seek it out. And I think it's just important. And so I encourage all of you to look up SHORE and look up the work that they're doing in our community, because it's important and it's worth talking about, especially if you have young ones at home or if you yourself are seeking out information and shelter or etc. And so, yeah, that is my spiel and I'm done. And so we're going to go into a quick break and we're going to play Blackstreet No Diggity. I can't even speak. And then we'll be back with some fun stories. It's going down, fade to Blackstreet. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. All right, so we're back. We cut it short just because, again, time is not our friend on the show.
And we wanted to get these stories in.
Yeah, so if you guys
have a little bit of a laugh after that.
Yeah.
Those hard conversations.
Hard conversations, which is very important to have, and we're incredibly fortunate to have the privilege to have them on air. So we're going to dive into our friend Noah's story. If you don't remember her, if you've been a long listener, then you remember her from a couple weeks ago. She was one of our co-hosts. And so here we go.
So I'll just start off by saying it was the best of times. It was the worst of times, mainly the worst of times. The way that I lost my virginity was actually through a Jewish Tinder website called JSwipe. So I had met a guy on the site and we hung out a couple times. And then I think on like the third time he came over, lost the V card. It was fine. It was pretty uneventful. But what happened afterwards, I think, is what makes it funny. So I hardly knew our hosts of the show or any of the other Radio Laurie staff really that well. But the next week, it was Radio Laurier's Volunteer Appreciation Awards. So on our way to the ceremony, we had pre-drank a little bit. And the second we got into the cab, it was myself and a couple of my Radio Laurier coworkers. And I decided to tell them the entire story of losing my virginity, as well as ask them for their advice on their own virginity stories. So that was a pretty good introduction into knowing me as a co-worker at radio. And we learned a lot about each other that night. So yeah, that's my story. Hope you enjoyed.
Loved it.
I love it. I was in the car when she came. She like shuts the door to the Uber and she's like, guys, I lost my virginity and I need advice. And I was like, what?
Hold up.
Sorry, your name's Noah? I was like, who are you, sir? I cannot. And this poor Uber driver was like, wait, I am not here.
I did not sign up for this.
I am not here for this. This is so, what is happening? And so, yeah, that was, and I mean, the story she has following is just, oh, it's just a whirlwind. And so, yeah, thank you for submitting a voice clip to our show, Noah. You are very much appreciated on the Swipe Right. And so Leah is going to read one of her friend's stories.
Yeah, so obviously my story wasn't that funny or interesting.
Mine was pretty funny, but
it yeah. just, whatever. So I asked some of my good friends at the restaurant where I work to send me they had any funny or horrific virginity stories, and actually this one is kind of beautiful. I think it's kind of nice.
Okay, go on it.
So this girl that I work with, she was still a virgin when she left to come to university, mm-hmm. and her best guy friend from home said that if you are still a virgin, like after the first couple weeks of university, I'll come up to Waterloo and I'll have sex with you. So she was like, oh, okay, like, sure. So then she kind of forgot about it. And then he texted her saying that he was coming up to Waterloo, and she was like, oh, shit, this is happening. Anyway, so then they started, like, hooking up in her res room. And she, like, shared a res room with another girl. But that girl, like, went home. So okay. Anyway, so they're hooking up, and a girl from her floor opened the door, and she didn't lock it.
Oh, my God. First step is locking the door, folks. My God.
Anyways, but she said it was super fun after.
That's good.
And the girl apologized.
Well, I can imagine. What are you supposed to say? It'd be pure panic mode.
Imagine. You're naked on top of each other. Definitely lock the doors.
Unless Number you're outside.
One rule, lock the door.
Yeah. I lost my virginity outside. And so there were no doors to lock. But it was about 3:30 in the morning. So it was safe to say. Definitely.
I was in a truck.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm from Orangeville.
Yeah, the only place people have sex is in a truck in Orangeville. It's a sad life they lead.
It was fun. It was beautiful.
What is Orangeville? It's not even a real place. Yeah, mine was following a starlight night with a guy that I used to hook up with, friend from the UK.
Oh, my God.
Good times. Good man. I was so happy because he was going to leave and he was going to be on another continent after this and I'd never have to see him again, and that's exactly what I wanted. And at that point, I think I was 22, 23, and I was ready. I didn't really value my virginity in a way that it was like any sort of like thing. I'm here and I'm sacred, and I was just like, no, I'm going to do this because I want to do this on my terms. And so we walked to the Herb Insurance building on Westmount, and I probably shouldn't be saying this, but then we were hanging out in the fountain because it was summer, and the fountain's quite the focal point to that courtyard. And then we went behind and onto a set of stairs, and let's say I had bruises in the way of stairs for about a week.
Oh, my God.
And it was intense and an adventure, but you know what? I do not regret it. We talked a bit afterwards, and I don't care if I ever hear from him again.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Anyways, on that note, we have to head out because By the Lyric is coming up next. And, stay tuned for her and how she dives into the lyrics of... I'm not even sure what song she's doing this week, but I'm sure it's really great because she does so much research and it's a really great show. So stay tuned and keep swiping right, and we'll talk to you next week.
Keep swiping right.